the Lord spoke and gave me a word. And I know when God gives me a word, I believe him. I trust him. I trust that he'll do everything that he said he would do. And the Lord gave me a word for Greatest Freedom Ministries for 2013 that this would be a year of increase. And God says there was going to be an increase in all levels. And some levels there hasn't been increase yet, but the year isn't over with. We're getting ready to step into the last quarter of this year. And God has purposed something for it to take place in this last quarter of the year. And so I just will pray that you keep your ears and your hearts and minds open tonight to hear what the Spirit has to say to each and every one of us. You know, it's no accident. I didn't talk about to Chris about what I was speaking on tonight, but it was no accident that he spoke to you this morning about hearing, understanding, and doing. Amen? Because it takes all three together to make the whole. And you can't do anything without the complete package. God gave us the complete package. We already have everything we need. Amen? And all of a sudden, it's just for you and I to get a revelation that it's already been done, it's already been purchased, and we already have it. So when I was looking at this, and the Lord was speaking to my heart, you know, open your Bible first. I'm going to establish a foundation for the direction that I'm going and that we're going as a ministry. And Jeremiah chapter 3, verse number 15. The prophet Jeremiah said, "And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." I will give you pastors. The New King James Version says, "I will give you shepherds according to my heart that will feed you with knowledge and understanding." God wants you and I to not only know, but he wants us to have full understanding. When we know something, we understand something, then we can really put it to work. God doesn't want you and I just to go about half-heartedly doing things. You know, the Bible says, and Proverbs 4:7, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. With all thy getting, get understanding. Okay? So as we're looking at God's word, God wants to establish something in the word in our hearts and lives tonight. I'm excited about the direction that we're getting ready to go, and we'll get more into detail about that here in a little bit. But I want to set a foundation for the direction we're going first. So open your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 13. It's a familiar text. It's what I want to talk to you about is the parable of the seed and the hearts and the ground, the seeds in the soil. Verse number 23 says, chapter 13 says, "But he that receiveth the seed unto the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. I want you to get a hold of something today, tonight, in this house. God wants you and I to be mega-minded, not mini-minded. God wants you and I to see the glass half full, not half empty. God wants you to see that he is a great big God. He's not a small God. We don't serve a little God. We serve a big God. He's not Minnie Mouse, he's Mighty Mouse, okay? He's not a little guy, he's a big guy. We serve a big, big, big God. And if you get this in your mindset, just listen to me. Greatest Freedom Ministries is a mega ministry. If you and I would get a hold of God's word and listen to what God says, he said we can make it 100-fold. 100-fold, we have 100 people, that's 10,000 people. Hey, maybe it's 60-fold. Well, 60-fold is 7,500 people. Maybe it's 30-fold. That's 3,600 people. Amen. In other words, God says if we hear the word and we understand it and we bear fruit. You know, you can't bear what you don't understand. And what God wants us to do is he wants us to take every last thing that we do and every last ministry that we have with Greatest Freedom Ministries is about souls. There's nothing more important to God than the souls. He says, "All souls are mine." The soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. And you and I, we have the answer. So tonight I just want to build a little, give a little guidance and direction for where we're going first. So tonight's text is found in 1 Peter chapter 4. You know, every time I open up God's word, I get a little bit excited. You know, I said, well, you know, I'm going to come in here and I'm just going to be all quiet and soft-spoken tonight. I don't know how to do that. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit excites me. The Holy Spirit constantly tells me not to look at through the natural eye. I got to continually look through the spiritual eye. Because every time I'm looking in the natural eye, I see disappointment. But when I look through the spiritual eye, I see the vision and what God said, and God's going to do everything that he said he would do. And sometimes we get so caught up in the natural, we can't ever move in the supernatural because we're caught and we're hung up in by our natural feelings, by what we see in the natural. God is doing something far greater than the natural. I said it before and I'll say it again. Everything happens in the spiritual before it ever manifests itself in the natural. And in other words, you have to see that things are taking place in the spiritual. God said they were going to happen. We believe they're going to happen, and we watch them come to pass. Amen? Amen. I believe every word that God says is true. I believe that he's going to do everything that he said he was going to do. And I said, if we walk according to God's word and we understand his word, and he's going to do it. Not just us do it, but he's going to do it. Amen? He'll just do it if we'll just do it. Amen? So when we look at this in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 7, the word of God says, but the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man have received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Tonight I want to focus your attention on verse number 10, which says, as every man have received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. The title of this evening's message is Many Are Mega-Minded, and it's not really a message. It's a teaching. God wants us to understand tonight that we're blessed to be a blessing. We're blessed. Look to your neighbor and say, you're blessed to be a blessing. Look to the one on the other side and say, you're blessed to be a blessing. Now say to yourself, I'm blessed to be a blessing. All of a sudden, what am I doing? I'm confessing with my mouth. Look to the one next to you and say, you're blessed to be a blessing. Say to yourself, I'm blessed to be a blessing. Now say together, we're blessed to be a blessing. In other words, that every good gift and every perfect gift comes from the Father above. And there's no variables, no shadow of turning. So God wants us to take what he's given and put it to work. Amen? So tonight we're going to see what the Lord has to say. Let's start with, how about some prayer? Amen? Can we pray together? Father, we're so grateful, Lord, for your word. We're grateful that you sent this word here tonight to accomplish everything that you sent it to the house to do. Now, Father, I pray that you speak to each and every one of us that is gathered here today, Father God, in the sound of your voice. Father, may we be stirred to action, Father God. May we put our feet to the floor. May we put the rubber to the pavement, Father God. May we be a church that's not stagnant, that's not complacent, that's not apathetic, Father God, but we may be a church that's reaching this world and this nation with the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Father God, I pray, Father God, for Holy Ghost boldness to come into this room to each and every one that's gathered here tonight, Father God. I pray, Father God, that you stir up the gifts of every last one that's gathered here, Father God. Some gifts have been laying dormant, Father God. And I pray, Father God, by the glory of God, that you raise it up, Father God, tonight, that you raise it up to a higher ground than it's ever been before. And when all is said and done, all glory and honor and praise will be unto the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords. Father, we thank you for the opportunity that you afforded us, Father God, to gather in your house to speak about you freely. So, Lord, have your free course in the house tonight. And when all is said and done, all glory and honor and praise would be to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We thank you, Jesus, in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. You know, when I'm looking at this and I'm thinking about being many-minded or mega-minded, and I don't know about you, I've always been a big-minded man. I always see things in a bigger measure. I see when I was a businessman, I saw of being mega, not many. I didn't start a business thinking I was going to be a small business or small. I thought I was going to be a large business, a large corporation. And so when we look at that and we come out and say, hey, we're blessed. Everyone in the room is blessed. Look at your neighbor again and say you're blessed. You know, he says tonight in verse number 10, as every man have received the gift, as every man have seen, received the charisma, the endowment, the endowment. He has endued each and every one of us with a gift, and he has endued each and every one of us with an ability. Amen. God has made us, he's given us everything we need to be successful. You know, that charisma, that divine endowment, the deposit that he gave you and I, He wants you and I not just to walk with it, but he wants us to share it, okay? It's so important. And when I was looking at this, I was asking the Lord about some things that were taking place. And Lord, I don't want to do anything just for the sake of doing it. So many times we do things because that's what we do. God's been speaking to my heart that everything that we do should have an effect. Amen. If we're kingdom builders and kingdom movers, we should be building and we should be moving. Amen. You know what? One thing I found is if you've watched any army movies or any battles, it's harder to hit a moving target than one that's sitting still. Amen. And so many times when we get sitting still, that's when the enemy has his target on us and we're his bullseye, and he keeps beating us up. And because we're not moving, amen? God isn't looking for us to be stagnant, okay? He gives life in the abundance thereof, amen? You know, he gives us everything we need to be in action. So I want to take you somewhere tonight and turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 2. First, verse 26 says, for God giveth to a man that is good in his sight. First, God giveth to the man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner giveth travail, to gather, to heap up, that he may give to him that is good before God. This also is vanity and vexation of spirit. In other words, God's going to take from the unrighteous. He's going to make a transfer to the righteous. But God says he giveth to a good man, you know, he gives us wisdom. What did we learn this morning about wisdom? Wisdom is hearing, understanding, and doing, okay? So in other words, wisdom is knowledge applied. If I have knowledge and I never give it application, it never became wisdom. God gives us wisdom, he gives us knowledge of his word, and he gives us joy. You know, I want you to understand something as a child of God. You will have 100 days of joy for every day you have a pain. You may have a day of pain, but you'll have 100 days of joy. I don't know about you, when I do the math, that's not too bad. It means I'm going to be at 99%. I can have joy. I'm going to go through some stuff in life. God isn't saying that you're not going to go through something. But what God is saying to you and I, he gives us wisdom, he gives us knowledge, and he gives us the joy, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen? So when I'm going through some hard time in my life, I've got to remind myself, I may be having a day of pain, but I'm going to have 99 days of joy. Amen? You know that morning may come in the night, but joy comes in the morning. Hallelujah. You know, so when we look at this, what he was speaking to my heart about in this text, and where I want you to understand this morning, he said, but to the sinner he giveth travail to gather and to heap up, that he may give to him that is good before God. In other words, for the unrighteous or the child that is not of God, they're going to go through some hell, and God allows them to go through it for a purpose. Sometimes we can't bring everyone out of their mess. Amen? Because just bringing them out of their mess isn't helping them. We got to teach them how to stay out of the mess. And what he was saying to me is this. When the prodigal left home, he wasted everything, but he had to come into a place where things were bad. You know, he had to come to a place where he got to the bottom of the barrel. And sometimes when people in the world are at the bottom of the barrel, they're there for a purpose. And if we don't give them the answer, if we just feed them and we do not give them God's word, we're not helping them. God wants us not to give out fish. He wants us to teach them how to fish. Amen. So as we're looking at this, and I was looking at that, the Lord took me to Luke 15. So let's look at that. We'll look at the prodigal here for a second. I've got purpose for this. Just bear with me. But the Bible says in Luke 15, and when he came to himself. And when he came to himself. Somewhere along the line in these last days, the world has to see the benefit of being in the house of God. They have to see the benefit of walking with Christ. They have to see the benefit of being in the kingdom of God. Because if they never see the benefit, they'll just stay in the world and you'll feed them and they'll still go to hell. Hello? You know, and in other words, what the Lord was saying to me, and John 21:6, when Jesus had died, his disciples went back to their old career. They went back to fishing, and they're out there fishing, and they fished all night. And Jesus came along in John 21:6 and said, cast your net on the other side. In other words, when they kept doing the same thing that they were doing, there wasn't going to be any growth. There wasn't going to be any return. But when they followed the instructions of Jesus and turned the right side, he said to the right side of the ship. And as they turned to the right side, all of a sudden, there was a drought of fish. It speaks of a harvest of souls. But what the Lord was speaking to my heart about is so many times if they're going the wrong way and we continue to help them go the wrong way, somewhere along the line we've got to share Jesus to get them right on track. Amen. Jesus said, come follow me in Matthew 4:19, and I'll make you to become fishers of men. So God's called all of us as fishers of men. There ain't no one in the room that God hasn't called to be a fisher. And being a fisher of men doesn't mean that you're always going to be a loudmouth preacher like me. You could be a softmouth preacher like Amber. And she ain't soft, more like Mahdi. Amen? Mahdi's softer than Amber. Amber's a go-getter. Amen? Praise God. In other words, what Jesus is saying to us here in the ministry is the things that we do have to have heavenly rewards. You know? See, because if we're not building treasures in heaven, it's not going to benefit us here on earth. You know? You know, I would rather feed somebody Jesus. You know, if somebody has Jesus, he said, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Amen? In other words, if I continually have the same need and I haven't connected to the supplier, We're not the supplier. I'm not the supplier. You're not the supplier. He is the supplier. You know, and so as we're looking at this, what God was saying to me is, hey, we're blessed. We're blessed. Hello? Is anybody in the room here blessed besides me? Amen. Amen. You know, we have received a gift. We received the gift of the Holy Spirit. We received the gift of salvation. We received a gift from heaven. We've received spiritual gifts. Hallelujah. God has given you and I so much. Amen. What does he say? He says, as every man has received a gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards. As good stewards. You know, when I look at a steward, a steward is an agent, a manager. We're ministers. We're a minister is a diakonos, as a waiter. You know, we're to minister, to wait upon them. As ministers, we're to be good stewards. A steward is something as being an agent. In other words, I'm an agent of God. You're an agent of God, and he's entrusted you and I with a gift. He has entrusted you and I with an ability, and what we're to do is it's what we do with what God has entrusted us with. Now, you know, I lost my thought there for a second. So we're to be good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. He said, let a man so account of us as, verse 1 or 1, let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. You know, faithful at what? Faithful in ministry, faithful in stewardship. In other words, what are you doing with what God entrusted you with? What are you and I doing with the gifts that God has given us? And the gifts isn't about here. Even so much that God loves to move in the midst here. You know, in 1 Corinthians 12, he speaks about the gifts of the Spirit being in operation in the body of Christ. God cares about out there. When we come in this house, what we're being is we're being built up to share the love of God. Amen? Amen? And in other words, if we don't understand this, we'll never have wisdom. If we don't have wisdom, we'll never have application. If we never have application, we'll just keep doing the same thing over and over like the children of Israel did. They just kept going around the same mountain for 40 years. They keep going around and 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 doing the same thing. Amen? I know that the promised land is right there. Amen. The promised land is the city that God has given us. God didn't put Greatest Freedom Ministries in Harrisonburg, Virginia to forget Harrisonburg, Virginia. God didn't put us right here to not to reach this area and this city for the kingdom of God. You know, the Bible says in Romans 14:12. God's word says, so every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. You're not going to give an account to no one about no one but yourself. But each and every one of us will give an account. What will we give an account for? What God trusted us with. You know, I'm an agent of God. You're an agent of God. So what is God saying? To be what? To be a good steward of the grace of God that God has given you, to be a good steward, to be a minister of the mysteries of the gospel. Everything that you're going to find in the New Testament, God's going to lead you back to the gospel. Everything that took place from the day of Pentecost on is all about the gospel. And if you think it's going somewhere else, you're always going to end up in the same place. It's always about the gospel. That God is not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ our Lord. God cares about every last one. He just doesn't care about what's in the room. He cares what's in the world. You know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He didn't say for God so loved the church, even though he loves the church. But he also says, I'm no respecter of persons. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. Amen. So what God is saying to us is, hey, we're blessed. Look at your neighbor and say, you're blessed. Say to yourself, I'm blessed. Say, we're blessed to be a what? A good steward. But we're blessed to be a blessing. Look, you say that to your neighbor. You're blessed to be a blessing.
I'm blessed
to be a blessing. We're blessed to be a blessing. Amen? That's what God's word's all about. It's about being blessed to bless someone else. Amen? Amen? It's not just about us. Amen? So when I looked at that and I'm blessed to be a blessing, that word, he said, as every man has received a gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Amen? And when I looked at that grace of God, I'm blessed to be a blessing. You know, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 10. He said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labor more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Amen. By God's grace, we're blessed to be a blessing. Blessed to be a blessing. That's why Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. You know, I believe this morning early in the service, Chris was talking about don't grow weary in well-doing, you know. In other words, when we get busy for the kingdom of God and God's working through our hearts and lives and his spirit's at work, you're not going to get weary because it's God working, not you. And the problem is that when you're trying to do it on your own and your own strength, you'll wear yourself out. Amen. But God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. Amen. You know, when I was looking at this last Sunday night, this when the Lord placed this in my heart, we went out last Sunday evening and we had a fellowship dinner here, and we went out, we hung door hangers out on doors, and the scripture was, I was hungry and you gave me food. And I was looking at that, and the Lord said, natural, spiritual. Natural side, spiritual side. Natural, spiritual. So I want to speak to you. You know, in Matthew 24, Jesus is speaking about the end of the world. What's going to take place? What's going to happen? And then all of a sudden in 25, in chapter 25 of Matthew, he uses three parables. Parable of 10 virgins, parable with three servants, and the parable of the sheep and the goats. The 10 virgins, 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. In other words, 5 were active and 5 were inactive. They were all virgins, but 5 were using what they were given and 5 was just waiting till the Lord comes. I'm just going to tarry here until he returns. And the Bible says he comes back suddenly. Then he uses the illustration of a a man traveling to a far country that gives 5 talents to one servant, 2 talents to another servant, and 1 talent to another servant. The one that had 5 put his 5 to work. And he was blessed. The other put 5, his 2 to work and was blessed. The one that didn't put his to work, what happened? It was taken away and it was given to the one that had 5. In other words, this parable speaks of judgment coming to people that aren't busy for the kingdom of God. It speaks about not being busy and activating what God has trusted you with. In other words, God gave by grace, you were saved by faith, but God instilled something in your life that's for the benefit of others. You and I have been blessed to be a blessing to someone else. Then Jesus goes and says, well, I was hungry and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to see me. And they said, when did we do these things? He said, when you've done them to the least of these, my brethren, meaning his family, his church, he says, when you've done it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Now, I'm not saying that we're not to feed the poor in the world. But sometimes God allows the world to be hungry so they can look to him. Amen. That doesn't mean I skip over the man that like was robbed on the side of the road like the priest did. I'm not going to walk on the opposite side of the road. I'm to minister to him and I'm to take him. But what God was saying is, I was hungry and you didn't give me meat. Jesus said that God's word says in Acts chapter 20, verse number 28. He says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost have made you overseers, and feed the church of God which he have purchased with his own blood. In other words, there's a responsibility. He says, I was hungry and did you feed me? In other words, when we have something and we know something about God and we have the answer to people according to God's word and we do not give it to them, we're not helping them grow. We're not feeding them. He says, I was thirsty and you gave me drink. That speaks about spiritual things. It's not speaking about water. He's speaking out of the wells will spring rivers of living water, bringing eternal life. He said, I was naked and you clothed me. In other words, he wasn't talking about people being naked. He was talking like Adam and Eve when they were in the Garden of Eden. They were naked and they hid themselves. You and I were naked until we got a robe of righteousness. He clothed us with his robe of righteousness. He says, I was sick and you came to visit me. You know, we're to lay hands on the sick and they're to recover. I was in prison, you came to see me. You know, he isn't telling us to go to Rockingham County Jail because not all of us can go to Rockingham County Jail. I can't, I'm a minister, I can get in there. But what he is saying is there's men and women that are prisoners in their own home. There's men and women that can't make it to the house of God. So we're to take the house of God to them. Amen. So what the Lord was speaking to my heart about, he was saying to me that what we want to do is we want to put the church in action. So in this last quarter of the year, as we're in and out the year, God gave me a different direction for Greatest Freedom Ministries. So what will Sunday night look like? I like the cartoon, or not, I guess it's Wonder Pets. Teamwork. Teamwork. But there's a soul in trouble somewhere. Hello? All right. That's my chord, right? Is it okay to be chordy? All right. There are souls in trouble everywhere. Amen. And we have the answer, and his name is Jesus. So this is what the Lord was speaking to my heart about as on Sunday night, we have teams. We have teams. One, we're going to have a prayer team. Every Sunday night, we're going to have a prayer team. Secondly, we're going to have a visitation team. A visitation team is going to go minister. And what happens on a visitation team? We're going to have a team that goes out and visits, or teams that go out and visit. We're going to have an evangelism team that goes out every Sunday night. We're going to go somewhere and share the gospel. We're going to have a discipleship team every Sunday night. We're going to have a team that's teaching people discipleship. We're going to have a youth team every night. We're going to have a children's ministry team every night. Amen? Every Sunday night. In other words, God wants us to put the church in motion. God wants to put it. So what team do I belong on? Well, here's how it's going to work. In other words, the teams are going to rotate every week, and nobody knows what team they're on until they get here on Sunday night. Hello? Amen. And let me tell you something. God will never ask you to do something that you can't do, and he'll always give you a help. Amen? So what the Lord was speaking to my heart about is, hey, we got to put the rubber to the road. In other words, we can preach it, we can teach it, but somewhere along the line, we just got to do it. We just got to do it. Amen? You know, there might be a widow that needs something done in her house. She might need a light change. We can do it on the visitation team. Amen? Every time we go out, we're gonna train and teach on sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? It ain't difficult. Guess what? He does all the work. Amen? He does the work. All we're doing is entering into his labor. We're not doing it on our own strength. We're trying to do it on our own strength. We won't do it. How many people have you led to the Lord that you just wanted to lead the Lord and they came to the Lord? If I went to everyone that I wanted to lead, that wanted to come to Jesus and try to do it, I got to look where God's at work, and I got to enter into his labor. The Bible says that no one comes to the Father but by the Son, and no one can come to the Son unless the Father draws him. Amen? So what God wants us to do is, hey, do we have any questions, any thoughts? Let me get the mic out. I want to hear something from people. Amen? God wants to stir us to action, church. Amen? The talking time's over. You know, I was looking at, we could sit in this room and we could learn, but if we never take it out and do anything with it, what did we gain? You know? Hallelujah. Huh? Turn one on. Somebody go up and turn it on. We want to communicate. Amen? You know, the Bible says in Hebrews, chapter 6, verse number 10, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown towards his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. So God's called us to be ministers. Ministers of the mysteries of God, to be servants, to be waiters, to minister and wait upon people. Amen.
Some of you guys were in the discipleship class, and hopefully you remember about the story about the wind, right? And back in the 80s, and some of us remember that, some of us wasn't around, but there was always these big yacht races, you know, these big ones with the sails and everything, and the United States had won the race for over 100 years. But there was a country that was about ready to take over the trophy. And the day came, and it was all tied up, and this was the last race. And so they all lined up, and no race. One reason, there wasn't a race. No win. And Pastor Carl will teach this, because I took evangelism under him for months and months. And then we all went to D. James Kennedy Church, you know, and took it. But there's no witness without the Spirit. And when we would go out, they were three always, and two of them, and we was all praying for the Holy Spirit to do a work and to move ahead of us. And that's one of the biggest things in going out there and witnessing, because with no wind, there's no race. Yeah. The wind of the Holy Spirit If that don't happen, you can forget it.
Amen. 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 Anybody else? Yes, Jay.
Are you going to be like evangelism, say, are you going to be leading the evangelism every week? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, is there going to be a specified leader for each, like an evangelism leader, prayer leader, visitation leader? Yeah. Or are they going to switch?
They're going to be there. The thought is that we're all going to rotate, and so you will have a leader of prayer, and you'll have a leader of evangelism. You'll have a visitation leader on teams that go out, and then when you rotate around, you could the following week you might not be the leader, but you might be on a different team. You know. What the Lord spoke to my heart, I'm going to train and teach on evangelism. But at the same time, I want to be in part of visitation. I want to be in prayer. I want to be in the children's ministry. I want to be in the discipleship. You know, I want to be with the youth. All right. We're doing this as a team. And ultimately, under God, I'm your leader. So I want to join in with everyone for the kingdom business. And guess what? I'll have an opportunity when I'm with the children. You might not know it, but we'll have the time to minister to kids. Amen. They'll all get ministered to. Everyone's going to get ministered to, and I'm going to get ministered to too by being with you. Amen. So my desire is to just have an opportunity to be in ministry and operating with everyone.
How are we going to get people to visit?
We'll prearrange the visits for Sunday night. All right? We have people that can't get out that we'll go visit. That you have people that are in the homes we can visit, and the convalescent homes we can visit. We can visit. There's somebody that we can visit. We can be the body of Christ. We can extend the body and be the body to someone. Amen?
What are we going to pray about?
when we're praying, thank you, Jay. When we're praying, we're going to pray for every ministry. We're going to be praying for the evangelism ministry, the visitation ministry, the children's ministry, the youth ministry. We're going to pray for the discipleship ministry. And the whole thing is this, is we need to fill the discipleship room. Mm-hmm. Amen? And this should be the discipleship room. My prayer is this place in here is filled on Sunday nights with people being discipled. And we're out there bringing people in to be discipled. Amen? Letting the church work, you know? I believe God's going to do some awesome things. Amen?
I'll just share that I think that we're entering into a time when it's important for us as a body to realize that, like you were talking, it's not about us. And, you know, the Lord has done so much in all of our lives, but just like Chris was saying this morning, you know, that we have to do it. And the song, that the Deep Cries Out song, you know, a line that's really been just striking my heart is that we're walking into deeper waters. And I just, you know, am reminded of that when you're speaking, like literally walking into deeper waters, because when we stay in the same place doing the same things, that water that we're in can become stale and stagnant and stinky, and you know, we can all get in that place of just murkiness, right? You know, and muddiness. But it's when we're stirring up those waters and literally going out and walking into deeper levels, into deeper things, and taking our eyes off of ourselves and the waters that we've been in, and walking into new places, and maybe places of, you know, places that may be more uncomfortable for us that we're not used to doing, but in the end, it's about the souls. And so we take our eyes off ourselves and we walk into deeper waters. And yeah, just was thinking about that when you were sharing.
Raise your hand in here if you want to grow. If you want to grow closer to God. If you don't get uncomfortable, you ain't going to grow closer to God.
Right.
And that's what this is all about.
Amen.
That's what this next area that we're walking into is all about, getting a little bit uncomfortable.
Amen.
You know, some of us might not be comfortable walking into a house that we've never been in before. Mm-hmm. And we can't do it by ourselves. Good thing we got the Holy Spirit, right?
Amen. Amen.
Some of us might not be comfortable sharing the gospel with people. That's okay, because we're not doing it by ourselves.
Amen.
We got the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Some of us might not be comfortable praying out loud. That's okay. It's not us praying. We got the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Kind of like Sunday night combine, right? You know, because, I mean, we are in the last days, and the last of the last days. And he says, as you see the day approaching, you know, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And we are in the so much the more, you know, time and season. And most people can get here on Sunday night. Well, they may not be able to get here on a Monday night, Tuesday night, Thursday night, or Friday night. They'll be here on Sunday night.
Right.
So we go out and, like I said, combine. Sunday night combine. Reap time.
You'll find that a lot of people are home on Sunday night, too. You know, we're one of the few churches in town that have a Sunday night service. And of course, the first thing is that okay, why do we want to have? Well, maybe we shouldn't have a Sunday night service either. And the Lord says, well, why not? It's my day. It belongs to me. If it's the Lord's day, it isn't. It's from 12:01 to 11:59. All right, it's the Lord's day. Amen. And so, what the Lord was saying is, what a better day. What a better day to go visit somebody that really needs to be visited. To go share the gospel with somebody that really needs to hear about Jesus. To pray for somebody that really needs to be prayed for. Amen? To help somebody that really needs help. You know, God gave us, some of us are healthy. We got hands and we got feet. We can do things, you know? We can help a widow. We might only have an hour, but you can accomplish a lot in an hour at night with a group of people, you know? So, anybody else have you? Yeah.
Can't get out, you know, and it's, you know, that's a lot of flavor of the early church. You know, they went out from house to house. You know, they took it out to the people, and, you know, that's a different approach. But a lot of people, you'd be surprised. Sometimes you'd be the only one. I know as a CNA, sometimes you go to people and you're the only one that can say to them, love yourself enough. Some might not feel like taking their medication.
Right.
Some might feel like, well, it's just me, you know, and who's going to miss me? You know, and you have to stay on. Now you need to take your medication. Now you need to take your medication. And if you don't stay in there with them, they won't do it. And sometimes you might be the only, even though they may have somebody that comes to see them in the daytime, but to know that a church is bringing, well, they may be at home saying, Lord, you know, if I could, if I had legs, we would like to go to church. You know, well, the church might not have a church van, but when the church takes the church to them, you're still having church.
Amen.
And you're taking the church to them, and you're having church from house to house.
Amen.
You know, and you might be the only church that they get all week long.
Amen. Amen. I don't know about you, Ben. I got my Nikes on. Amen? Amen? Anybody else? Thoughts, questions, input? How about you? Y'all ready? Amen? Everybody ready?
Amen.
Everybody ready? You know, isn't it time just for us just to be, go ahead and be the church?
Amen.
You know, instead of just talking about it, let's do it. Amen? Let's do it. And I like understanding the word. I like bearing fruit. I like the hundredfold. You know, what took place in the day of Pentecost? There was about a hundredfold blessing. There were 3,000 people that were added to the church in one day. Hallelujah. Why? Because they got it. They understood it and they ran with it. Amen. In other words, when we're going out and we're doing this to build the kingdom of God. Amen? So who's with me? Are you with me? Amen? So what you're saying to me is, I'm going to come. I'm not going to stay home. I'm going to come, even though we're going to do something different. I see your hands again. Amen? Hey. Because you know what? We're going to do this together. You know why? Because we are a team. We are a team. And even though there might be an evangelism team, a visitation team, a prayer team, a discipleship team, a children's team, a youth team, we're all one big team.
Hey, if you do choose to stay home, we'll just come visit you.
Hallelujah.
You're funny.
Anybody else have anything? Just remember, Jesus said, you were hungry and you gave them meat. You were thirsty and you gave them drink. They were naked and you clothed them. They were sick and you visited them. They were in prison and you came to see them. You know, in other words, he didn't say they came to you. They were hungry and you gave them something. Amen. We've got something. We've got the Word of God. We've got the bread of life. Hallelujah. We've got the manna from heaven that became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld the glory of the only begotten, full of grace and truth. We have the water of life. The Holy Spirit out of our bellies is going to flow some rivers of living water. God's not going to work around you. He's going to work right through you. Amen. It excites me when I see God at work. And you know what? You know who God works in the most? Anyone that is willing. Anybody that's willing. He said, whosoever will. Whosoever will. Whosoever. Whosoever. Whosoever will. Amen. They were naked, man, and we're going to clothe them with a robe of righteousness. Amen. You know, that robe that God placed around you when he said he chose you and called you. He said, before you were ever formed in your mother's womb, I knew you by name. Hallelujah. He said, every hair on your head was numbered. Hallelujah. Praise God. He knows our going in and going out. He knows every last one we're going to see. And when these people are praying in the Holy Ghost and praying in God's word, and we're going out visiting and evangelizing, God's going to give us increase. Amen. Praise God. One sows and other waters, but God gives the increase. Amen. And he says, they were sick, man. We'll get to go and minister to some people that may have been in bed for a long time, but get healed. There may be somebody that's been waiting for 10 years for somebody to come and bring the word to them. We don't know what God's going to do. He said he's going to do some good stuff. Amen. And, you know, people that are prisoners, you know what? There's many people that are prisoners financially. They're prisoners to alcoholism and addictions. They're prisoners to all kinds of different things. We're going to go in and by the power of God, free some prisoners. Hallelujah. Man, we're going to have a jailbreak. Hallelujah. You know, we could be in a room. You could be in a room like Paul and Silas was at midnight when they were singing praises, and all of a sudden the place shook, and all the prison doors were open, and everybody was loosed. You know, you don't know what might take place if we just trust God and do what he said to do. Hallelujah. So I want you to just keep your heart open and receptive and be ready to do what God's called us to do as a ministry. Greatest Freedom Ministries is a world evangelism ministry. God's called us to share the gospel of a lost and dying world. Amen. Praise God. And we're not.
I have a quick one. It just came to my mind. And I just heard this recently from somebody in Florida. And it said they heard a story about the two people that died. And one was going up and the other was going down. And when they passed, why didn't you tell them?
Right. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Can we all just stand tonight? Hallelujah.